On Wednesday nights during this season of Lent, several of us are gathering to study and struggle with the theme of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a wholly appropriate theme for Lent. It goes hand in hand with repentance, which is the overarching theme of this season. No matter how timely and appropriate a theme of forgiveness is, forgiveness is not as straightforward as we would like. Forgiveness is sticky and gooey. It's not smooth and slick. Have you ever stuck your hand in something gooey and sticky and then tried to remove the gooey, sticky mess from your previously free hand? If you have, you know what a desperate and exasperating situation this is. It seems the more you try to free one hand from the mess, the more the other one gets stuck. Round and round you go, trying and trying to find a way to let go of the sticky substance that now has you engulfed. Forgiveness is not unlike this situation. Forgiveness is not neat and clean. It's not something that's simple or free and clear-cut. If one were to describe forgiveness in terms of sewing, it would not be a straight stitch, but more like a zigzag. Unfortunately, our world does not readily accept zigzags or messiness. We want neat and tidy. We want clear-cut, yes or no, black or white. We're busy. We're impatient. We don't have time to sort through the confusion to get to the truth. We're the world of the microwave, the instant message, the text. Give us bullet points and sound bites, not lengthy explanations. We want clear messages, loudly, and now. Oh, and we want justice. We want those in the wrong to pay for their wrongs. We know who they are, those who are in the wrong, who are misleading our country and not doing their fair share to move our nation in the way that it should be moving. They're wrong, and they deserve what they get. Personally, I believe that any time we use the word they, we're headed down a path that leads to nothing but trouble. Jesus' followers were having some of the same kind of problems we are. They're aware of some issues that have occurred, tragedies. One at the hand of a vicious individual, and one a natural phenomenon. Those situations have involved the loss of lives. And those following Jesus come to him with questions. They're concerned about these situations, or at least they pretend to be. Jesus reads their deceptive motives. Jesus knows that they're trying to place blame. Jesus can see that the folks who come to him telling him about the deaths of the Galileans are really trying to point to some fault in those killed to justify their death. He cuts this short and turns the finger back on those who brought up the story. He says, unless you repent, you will perish as they did. Can you imagine being the folks that came to Jesus with this news? They sighed up to him, so proud to be the bearers of a tidbit of juicy gossip. Hey, Jesus, did you hear about those Galileans that Pilate killed and mixed their blood with their sacrifices? They must have been pretty rotten and no good to have an end like that, huh? I know you'd set them straight. They got what they had coming, didn't they? Imagine the look of shock that began with their faces and moved through their bodies when Jesus told them that they would have that same fate if they didn't change their ways. You want justice? Are you sure? Jesus continues by exclaiming that those who were killed by the wall that fell at Siloam were not worse offenders than anyone else. The fact that the wall fell on them is not an indication that they had done wrong. Perhaps someone should remind Pat Robertson of these words of Jesus. What follows again comes as a jolt to those eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth demanders of justice. Unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. Huh? Not us. We're the good guys. We do right. We check off the list of good deeds done on a daily basis. It seems the judgment piece is the part that Jesus has a problem with. The fact that his followers were so quick to determine who was in the wrong, and the presumed punishment they got, which was their death, was exactly what they deserved. Jesus turned that around and said, unless you repent, you will have the same end. And we might read into his words, and you would deserve it. And if we did, we would succumb to the very same problem that the followers of Jesus had that day. One of presuming that we know who deserves what reward and who deserves what punishment. And that is where we would be wrong. Jesus tells a story at the end of this heated exchange. It's the story of a fig tree that has not produced fruit for 3 years. Goodness knows we have no tolerance for those who are not productive, be they fruit or be they folk. Neither does the man who planted this tree. He tells the gardener, cut it down. Why, he posits, should it be allowed to waste the soil? This really sounds like a 21st century conversation, does it not? If you can't carry your own weight, you should be left behind, or severed, or downsized. You name the term. But the gardener says, sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. I'm breathing a sigh of relief. How about you? The gardener buys some time for the unproductive fig tree. The gardener, perhaps the same gardener that just moments before set the presumptuous folks straight in their thinking, is now giving them another chance to produce fruits of the godly kind. He's forgiving them for their short-sightedness and judgmentalism. And rather than giving them the judgment they demand, he gives them the mercy that they need. The people keep asking for justice, but thanks be to God, what they get time and again is forgiveness and mercy. No wonder this is called the greatest story ever told. Even in our presumption and sin and judgment that we so freely hand out for others, the gardener comes and offers forgiveness and mercy. We expect those in need of forgiveness to ask for our forgiveness. God just asks that we turn around, start anew. And we turn again to him and start fresh. He will not turn his back on us or give us what we deserve. He will fertilize us and help us grow so that we can live into the fullness of the garden and bear good fruits. Thanks be to God. Amen.